I wonder how many of us watching today have a tattoo. I do. You won't find it anywhere on my body, but it's inked over my heart. A long time ago, when I was broken on the inside over something I'd done, I asked God to brand me with the memory of my actions so I'd never forget. And he tattooed "forgiven sinner" over my mind. Forgiven sinner. That's who I am. And that's who you are. We're sinners. We're people who mess up and get it wrong. We're people whose lives all too often are in the wrong. Sometimes we have to live with the consequences of our sin. But we are also forgiven. In Isaiah 43, God describes himself saying, "I am he who blots out your transgression for my own sake and remembers your sins no more." In Psalm 86, it says, "You, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call on you." As people who put their trust and their faith in Jesus, we are forgiven. And one of the most famous stories Jesus told is called The Prodigal Son. It's about a young man who asked for his share of his father's fortune and then goes off and enjoys it. And Gwen's going to read this for us now.
Today's reading is from Luke chapter 15, verses 11 to 22. The parable of the lost son. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his field to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out, go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet.'"
The son failed his father big time. He shamed his family. He effectively wished his father was dead. And I imagine him getting closer to home with a head full of thoughts. The best he could hope for was that his father wouldn't disown him. The best he could hope for was his father might have the use of another hired hand. Hopefully his father wouldn't send him packing before he'd had a chance to open his mouth. His father would have every right to reject him. But instead, the father rushes out to greet him. His father would have had every right to give him the grimmest of servant jobs. Instead, the father calls him son. That broken and shame-faced young man receives a tattoo. Forgiven sinner, And he's celebrated back into the very heart of the Father's family. And this story is the story that Jesus invites us into, not only forgiven, but drawn so tightly into the Father's love, we receive all that we need to live forgiven. This is what Jesus secured for us as he died on the cross. His dying words, "It is finished," are an accounting term. He's crying out, "Paid in full." It's a declaration over a settled debt. Jesus completed what he came to do, which was to restore the broken relationship between ourselves and God. And it's in this forgiveness we are called to live. Forgiveness is at the heart of the gospel. Knowing we're forgiven releases us to live in good relationship with God, but it also releases us to live in good relationship with ourselves. Living as someone who's been forgiven not only means that when I mess up and say sorry to God, I can be confident of his forgiveness, it means I can live in good relationship with me, with myself. Our mistakes and our wrongdoings and our failures and our vulnerabilities, they're all forgivable. Unforgiven, they play on our minds, but we can confess these to God. And sometimes we can even do something about making right our mistakes and our wrongdoings and our failures and the vulnerabilities of our lives. We can kick addictions. We can say sorry for hurting others. We can learn from our mistakes. But there's a world of difference between being forgiven and living forgiven. And so many of us struggle to live forgiven because we feel ashamed. We find ourselves unable to shake off the feeling that we just aren't quite good enough for God's love or his grace or his favour, no matter what the Bible says. You may remember a year or so ago, the Love Island host Caroline Flack took her own life because she was facing a criminal charge. Speaking of her death, her ex-partner said that she died of embarrassment and shame. Now, embarrassment is something that we feel temporarily. We say something or we do something that over a passage of time we can laugh about. It might even become a bit of a story that we share with others when it's old enough to be talked about. But shame is quite a different thing. Shame is a hugely powerful emotion which causes us to feel defective in some way. It makes us feel unacceptable, maybe even damaged beyond repair. It affects the way we see ourselves, and it can disable our ability to see ourselves in a positive light. It's like a cloud that hangs over our lives no matter what we do. We might feel ashamed of actions, either past or present. We might feel ashamed because people have spoken shaming things over our lives and we can't unhear what has been said. And we might even feel ashamed about the circumstances of the lives that we're living in at the moment. Can I encourage you today? Because Jesus wants to speak right into the heart of your shame. I love the story in the Bible about a woman who had to self-isolate for 12 years because she had a gynae-related health problem. Just imagine that for a moment. No hugs from her family, no going out in public, 12 long years of lockdown quarantine. And then she hears about Jesus. Breaking all the social distancing rules, she inches her way through the crowd of people that have gathered around Jesus and she touches his clothes. feeling healing power flow through him, Jesus turned and he said, "Who touched me?" Can you picture her face, dark red with embarrassment? It was her. She was going to have to own up in front of everyone. She'd broken the rules. She shouldn't be there. Panic, fear, shame. Shame loaded on top of 12 years of shame. But Jesus didn't want to call her out for what she'd done. He wanted to celebrate who she was. And looking her in the eye, he acknowledges her healing. He says, "Daughter, your faith has made you well." But listen to this. After that, he then says, "Go in peace." He is speaking wholeness and healing over her life. What does that mean? Quite simply, it means he removed her shame. And what would that have looked like for her? It made her equal to everybody else in the crowd. So I wonder, how does shame affect you? What does it stop you doing? How does it stop you living forgiven? How does shame interfere with the way you see yourself? How does it interfere with the way you think about yourself? How is shame preventing you enjoying everyday and ordinary things? You see, in Christ Jesus, you are a forgiven sinner. But are you living forgiven? Where do you need to hear Jesus' shame-healing words? Go in peace. Forgiveness is at the heart of the gospel. Jesus died so we might live differently. Living forgiven frees us from guilt. Living forgiven means that we're confident in our relationship with God. Living forgiven frees us from shame. Living forgiven means that we live comfortably with ourselves. But living forgiven calls us to action. Living forgiven requires us to be forgiving towards others as well as towards ourselves. One day, Peter came to Jesus and he asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to 7 times? Jesus answered, "I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. Peter was looking for a loophole. He was looking for a line that could be drawn. Peter wanted to know when it would be okay to say enough is enough. And so Jesus goes on to tell a story about a king who wanted to settle his debts with his servants. As the servants came and they paid him what they owed, one owed him thousands. And he couldn't pay. Begging for mercy, the king forgave him the debt. The servant was delighted until he bumped into someone who owed him a small sum of money. "Pay back what you owe me," the servant demanded, and he showed no compassion on the man who asked for a little bit more time to repay the debt in. When the king got to hear of this, he was angry because the one who'd been forgiven a lot wasn't able to pass that forgiveness on. Jesus concluded, "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or your sister from your heart." Christians who have the words "forgiven sinner" tattooed across our lives, we should be the most forgiving people on the planet. But all too often we fail to live forgiven. All too often we're like the servant, failing to demonstrate towards others what's been shown to us. We're forgiven much, but we can be forgiving less. Forgiveness isn't easy. It's not always instant. Forgiveness doesn't say that the other person hasn't done something wrong. Forgiveness is costly. Forgiveness is courageous. And forgiveness has to be intentional. But when we live forgiven and we forgive, we let go of what has been. We release an old reality, and instead we open up the possibility of a new reality. When we live as forgiven sinners, impossible relationships have the opportunity to blossom and grow. So today, I wonder who you're angry with. Who's hurt you so much that you're willing to let go of a relationship rather than forgive? Who in your mind are you planning to get even with? Who are you punishing in your thoughts, through your words, or in your actions? Who do you need to forgive? Yes, you might be tired of getting hurt. Yes, you might be weary of expecting different the next time. Yes, you might be frustrated because you can't right the wrongs that you've experienced. And yes, they may never say sorry or recognise the pain that they've caused in your life. And yes, it might not be fair. But God has no limits on what He will forgive. Are we living forgiven today? Who do you need to forgive? Let's pray. Lord, we are sinners. And you have forgiven us so much. Every thought, every action, every thoughtlessness, every inaction. God, you call us forgiven sinners. And with that comes a responsibility. A responsibility to pass on what we have received. God, forgive us that we struggle with forgiveness. We struggle to demonstrate our gratitude by holding on to things that you ask us to release. Lord, today, would you speak to us about who we need to forgive? And Lord, would you call us to action, to a decision today to forgive that person, those people, to release our anger, to let go of our bitterness, to live forgiven. God, help us today. Amen.